Our God is for us. Who could stand against us? Do you ask yourself that question? Romans chapter 8, beginning of verse 28, that's where the theme comes from in that song we just sang. But you know, we're coming into a season that we focus on something we should focus on all of our life: giving thanks. Now, yes, it's a national holiday. And I decided today I'd do the obligatory Thanksgiving sermon. The problem is I came with preconceived ideas. And as I was studying to prepare, the Lord's laid some other things on my heart. And I hope I can share some of the things that He gave me this week. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we thank You as we come to Your Word. May You speak to our hearts. Not be the words that I'm speaking, but may it be Your words that speak. And may I share just a portion of what You've taught me this week. As we come into this week of focus on giving thanks, Lord, may we really realize what it means to give thanks. Use this time and Your Word, Lord, to strengthen Your people, to strengthen Your family, to strengthen our walk with You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, this could be scary. I showed my wife my notes, and she says it's either short or it's going to be dangerous today. So I'm not one that does a lot of form and function. One of my least favorite classes in school was public speaking. So I don't do form A, form B, point A, point B, and such. I just want to share today kind of what the Lord is speaking to me with. Just in the past month or so, as I've been preparing, and as I sat down to put my thoughts together this week, as I started researching to support what I wanted to bring, the Lord kind of slapped me alongside the head and says, "It's my words, not yours." And I hope that's what you get today. I've always asked the Lord, when I do speak, please let it be something that You're working on me on. Because if You're not working on me, how can I share what You want in Your people? I don't consider anything great oratory. This is just some thoughts, really some simple thoughts, and most of it's going to be scripture today. And it's not because I'm trying to cheap out, but because that's what God used to teach me. In preparation, how many of you use the Bible app on your phone and on your tablet? And have you used any of the Bible studies in there? Which is great, and it's a great way to focus. And so I thought, well, I'm going to pull up a couple of these devotional thoughts and see if I can get some ammunition. And I pulled up one and started in the study, and after the second day, I'm like, he's talking about Thanksgiving almost like it's the genie in the bottle. The idea of giving thanks is where our reward comes from, almost. I can't clarify exactly what it says, because it started to frustrate me after the second day. And the scriptures he used were fantastic scriptures, but I thought he was reading a lot into it. And I don't want to read things into what God's trying to say. Don't get me wrong there. I never want to do that, because this is His word, not mine. But my first focus was to go to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We're all familiar. But 1 Thessalonians 5:18, what's he say? He says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In every circumstance, give thanks. Now, parents, you may want to close the ears of your kids for a second. Because what do we raise our kids to say when they're given something? What's the magic words? Thank you, right? So as I started reading this, then I decided to search the words thank you in Scripture. Just the two words together where everybody's saying thank you. He says to give thanks. He does not tell us to say thank you. Now, we've taught our kids, we've taught our grandkids, we've taught those the idea of being grateful for what we have. And thank you instills a little something there, but how often have you said thank you and then turned around and ignored anything else? The idea of giving thanks is an action, requires an action that supports what we're thankful for. If I say thank you and then go on and act as everything is, if I am really grateful for what you have done for me or what you have given to me, if I am really thankful, what kind of result are you going to see? Are you going to see an action that follows it up? Because if I'm truly grateful, I'm going to want to do something that's even greater for you or for the one who did it. This is the idea of giving thanks. But Paul didn't just sit there and state, I always thought, he says, give thanks in everything. So I don't necessarily have to say, thank you, Lord, for the cancer. I don't have to say, thank you, Lord, that my mom is suffering through dementia. And that was my conception coming into this preparation. I don't have to say thank you for that. I say thank you. There's something you're trying to teach me in this, and you have a purpose in it. I can take my focus off of that. What happens? I take the focus off of my Savior, and I put the focus back on me. Because Paul didn't just say give thanks in everything. You move over to Ephesians 5. Verse 20, what's he say? Ephesians 5, verse 20 says, giving thanks always for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks, not just saying thank you, but truly giving thanks. Now, what the history did you know of Paul? What did we just learn? What did we just go through last week in the book of Acts? What happened to Paul? He was stoned and left for dead. And who's the one telling us to say, give thanks for everything? To me, that was a powerful statement. I had no problem recognizing to give thanks in everything. I have a problem, and it's a terrible weakness. But I have a problem in giving thanks for everything. That is difficult. But again, if I'm truly thankful, what is the response? Is it a burden to serve the Savior if I'm truly grateful for what He's done for me? Is it truly hard and difficult to do the things He asked me to do? If I truly am grateful and thankful to God for what He's done, it's not a burden to do what He asked me to do. We always think this is something we have to do, but if I'm living my life in a grateful and thankful attitude, it's not a burden. It's actually a joy because I know I can't repay him everything he's given me. I cannot repay him everything he's given me. There's no way. He gave his life for me. So how am I ever going to repay that? When people come at me and accuse me of whatever, how can I repay that? Even if I have to suffer, like Paul said, in everything and for everything, give thanks. Can you imagine what he looked like after being stoned? And then they got up, when they got up and they go to the next cities, this guy did not look unbruised. He was bruised and beaten. I mean, come on, he was stoned. You don't heal in that overnight. Scripture never talks about what he looked like, but I thought about that this week. What did he look like? And yet people came to listen to the gospel he had to share. At whatever cost he was willing to share. But again, I'm reading these, and yeah, this still kind of, but then God kind of tapped me on the shoulder. And so I decided I'm going to look up the instances where thank you in Scripture is used together, just to say thank you. And it's all about giving thanks. It's all about the total attitude. But the psalmist David, in Psalm 35, if you think about what David, this hit me. I was going through, and I always say it's verse 18, but I want to go through and look what David went through. You know, Psalms is full of praise, and praise is there, all included in thanksgiving. But in Psalm 35, he says, David, the Psalm of David, he says, contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and rise for my help. Draw the spear and javelin against my pursuers. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let them be put to shame and dishonor who seek after my life. Let them be turned back and disappointed who devise evil against me. Let them be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. Let their way be dark and slippery with the angel of the Lord pursuing them. For without cause they hid their net for me. Without cause they dug a pit for my life. Let destruction come upon him who does not know it. And let the net that he hid ensnare him. Let him fall into it to his destruction. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord, exulting in his salvation. All my bones shall say, O Lord, who is like you, delivering the poor from him who is too strong for him, the poor and the needy from him who robs him. Malicious witnesses rise up. They ask me for things that I do not know. They repay me evil for good. My soul is bereft. But when they were sick, I wore sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting. I prayed with head bowed on my chest. I went about as though I grieved for my friend or my brother, as one who laments his mother. I bowed down in mourning. But at my stumbling, they rejoiced and gathered. They gathered together against me, wretches whom I did not know, tore at me without ceasing. Like profane mockers at a feast, they gnash at me with their teeth. How long, O Lord, will you look on? Rescue me from their destruction, my precious life from the lions. And then he ends, he says, I will thank you in the great congregation. In the mighty throng, I will praise you. It struck me. In his worst circumstances, people are bringing accusations. He was mourning and praying for his enemies, but when they saw an opening, they attacked. And yet what David says, he says, I thank you, Lord. What a way, no matter what the circumstances, I thank you, Lord. It was a focus on him and not on me. Yes, he's asking the Lord to take this from me. Use their trap to trap them. But even if you don't do it, Lord, thank you. I can't do that. I struggle to do that. But David's focus was on the Lord. Yes, he's suffering. Yes, we're suffering. But his focus was not on him. His focus was on the Lord. What a praise. But he didn't just leave it there, just say, thank you, Lord. He said, in public, I will thank you. Don't let the others focus. The praise goes to God. And then also in Psalm 50, verses 7 through 15, Asaph lays out in this psalm. He says, hear, O my people, I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. People were doing a good thing. They're doing what God had commanded. Give sacrifice. But not for your sacrifice do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. God doesn't need anything from us, but he desires it from us. The thing I focused on really is the idea of giving God thanks isn't a command. But it's a direction for a purpose to fulfill in your life. What does giving thanks recognize? It's taking my focus off of me and putting my focus onto one other. The grateful life. And then he led me to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And this is really where I wanted to focus. And I say all that because this is the one that stood out. The sacrifices were given. This is at the coronation of Solomon. And David is there, and the priests have brought gold, silver. If you read in the earlier verses here, gold and silver was brought to help in the temple and everything. But the emphasis was the people did it willingly, not out of necessity. They did it willingly. But this is David's prayer in the assembly as they're getting ready for the coronation of his son Solomon. Therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might, and in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to thus offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners, as all our fathers were. Our days on earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding.
O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I know, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. In the uprightness of my heart, I have freely offered all these things. And now I have seen your people who are present here offering freely and joyously to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep forever such purposes and thoughts in the hearts of your people and direct their hearts toward you. Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all, and that he may build the palace for which I have made provision. Then David said in all the assembly, bless the Lord your God. And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, and bowed their heads and paid homage to the Lord and to the king. And they offered sacrifices to the Lord, and on the next day offered burnt offerings to the Lord, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs, and with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. And they ate and drank before the Lord on that day with great gladness. They brought these sacrifices. They brought the sacrifices out of thanksgiving. They brought out of what the Lord had done. Listen to David as he said, you own everything. You don't need it, but you desire it. And if we're truly thankful for what the Lord's done for us, don't we want to do what he desires for us to do, no matter what the cost? This is what he focused on me. I'm all about the thanksgiving and giving thanks, but if I am truly grateful, as I raise my kids, and I'll embarrass my daughter probably, but that's all right. When thank you really meant something is when they turn around and without asking did something that we would hope they would do. Without asking. If God is directing us and we're truly grateful for what he's given to us, we shouldn't wait for him to say, okay, you need to do this and that. We should act. If we're going the wrong direction, he'll always turn us, but if we're not moving, you can turn a moving vehicle, but you can't turn a vehicle that's standing still. If we're moving and we're going the wrong direction, God will always turn us, but we need to be moving. And hopefully we're moving towards him. If we're moving away, he can pull us and turn us. But are we truly thankful? Are we truly giving thanks? When I say thank you, Lord, do I say, yeah, but I'm not going to do this. I'm not that grateful. And that happens to be my response way too often. True act of thanksgiving, true giving of thanks is an action. Results in an action to support the one you're grateful to. I bring it down to earth. What did the people do? They brought sacrifices. Now, have you ever studied what the sacrifices were? This is supposed to be a perfect animal. And when I say perfect animal, farmers, dairy farmers, I was raised in cattle country. I was raised on ranches. I remember back in the late 70s, I was working as a ranch hand, and we're on a cattle drive, and I'm riding along these guys, unchristian guys, but riding along these fellow ranchers as we're herding the cattle to the new fields. And I heard them discussing this prize bull at a regular auction. Perfect Angus bull. Now, I don't know if you've worked at Angus. They're terrible animals to work with, but they're kind of stubborn like us and mean like us sometimes. But this perfect specimen of a bull, and the guy says, now this is back when, he said, this is late 70s, a new fully loaded
Ford pickup ran about $7,000, okay? I always hate to put money into what a sacrifice is, but it brought my focus to what the cost was. The guy said I quit bidding at $12,000 on the bull. This is a regular auction. This isn't a 4-H auction. This isn't anything like this. This is the prime action of a bull at a regular auction. This is in the 70s, so almost twice of what a fully loaded, and most ranchers didn't buy fully loaded trucks, so I think a regular one is about $5,000. So $12,000. Now let's not leave it there, all right? Why are you paying this price for this bull? Because of the offspring he's going to bring. Think about the racehorses. You know, they pay millions of dollars for these racehorses. Why? They pay thousands of dollars just for stud fee for some of the racehorses. But why? Because of the value down the road, the offspring. Now, you've got that $12,000 bull. Next year's, how many of those $12,000 bulls are in next year's? Next year's would have been in next year's herd. So it was a commitment. I always hate bringing money into it, but sometimes my focus, if I put a dollar fee, you know, and it's not about the money. But this is a commitment. And why did they give the sacrifice? They brought this not because they were commanded to bring it. They were getting ready to build the temple and everything was built, and they wanted the best for the temple. And if you read about Solomon's temple, it was glorious, all the gold and silver and everything. But what's the focus? That's a cost. And that, to me, cheapens the sacrifice that we've been given. Is it a sacrifice to give thanks? Sometimes it may be. But why do we give thanks? John Piper, I think, stated it. He says, gratitude flourishes in the sphere of grace. And grace, as we all know, is receiving something we don't deserve. If we're truly grateful for what God's given, we realize we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. I am truly thankful because, man, Lord, you didn't give me what I do deserve, but you gave me what I don't deserve. He also stated, gratitude is a feeling of happiness you feel towards somebody who has shown you undeserved kindness. Just a simple undeserved kindness. David was talking to the people in his prayer. He says, Lord, you have everything. You don't need it, but you desire it, so we're bringing it. That's an oversimplification, but we're bringing it. Billy Graham stated, thanksgiving, the giving of thanks to God for all his blessings, should be one of the most distinctive marks of the believer in Jesus Christ. We must not allow a spirit of ingratitude to harden our heart and chill our relationship with God and with others. It shouldn't just be this season. It should be the reflection of our life. A life of thanksgiving. We put it all as one word, but it's thanksgiving. Giving thanks, not just saying thanks. Now I have to do this for Pastor Tim. Spurgeon, all right? We got that? Spurgeon says, you say if I had a little more, I should be very satisfied. You make a mistake. If you are not content with what you have, you would never be satisfied if it were doubled. It's a contentment with what we have. It's a gratitude for what God's given us. I want my life to reflect the idea, and it doesn't. I'm going to first tell you, it does not, but I want my life to reflect how grateful I am to God for what he's done for me, for what he's provided me. Yeah, it's great to say thank you for the things, but he gave us the sacrifice. He says if the blood of bulls and goats could have healed you, saved you, why would Christ ever had to have come? All they were was a foretaste of what was to come and was providing the way. But the blood of Jesus Christ covers all. Are we grateful for that in our life? Are we focusing on it? Now, I don't know where this statement came from. I don't know if I read it or what, but I really felt like it was kind of summed it up. But the more you find to give thanks for, the more you will find to give thanks for. You ever found that in your life? When you're looking, and sometimes you have to look to say, I can't focus. I can't look. Lord, give me something to say thankful for. But as you begin to see, and I've noticed in my life, the more I focus on the things and I'm grateful for the things he's going, all of a sudden I realize not only did he do that, he did this, he did that. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Why does the hymn say that? Because the more you state, the more you see. The more you find to give thanks for, the more you will find to give thanks for. Is your life the focus of a thankful life, or is it focused on me? And oh, woe is me. Is our life a reflection of giving thanks? Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. As we gather together as a body, we just pray, may our lives truly reflect what you have given to us, what you have in the salvation of Jesus Christ. May your blessing be on the remainder of this day and in our lives. May we shine your light to the world around us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.